So there's some construction going on outside my window here. Hopefully the audio isn't going to be picking this up too poorly. Yeah, we'll see what happens here. But so I had read Tobermory several months ago. I was considering a whole bunch of stories, kind of for planning out the year, and I read this one. It's cute, is what I thought. It stuck with me, though. And for me, that's oftentimes what I'm looking for in pieces that I'm going to narrate. Does it stick with me? Do I find it something that I'm thinking about later? I did update this. So this is not written how the author Saki, aka Hector Hugo Munro. These are not his exact words. I did do like a modern retelling of it. Part of that is just for fun for me. And yeah, I hope that people enjoy it. Here we go. Tobermory. A modern retelling. Original text by Saki, aka Hector Hugo Munro. Narrated by Paul Cram. It was a humid late August evening, the kind where the sky couldn't decide between storm or sunset. Golf was rained out. The kids were back at school, and ski season was months away. So, the entire dinner party had gravitated around the Blemley's kitchen island, orbiting charcuterie boards, a tray of martinis, and the faint hum of their $12,000 wine fridge. No one had expected much from Cornelius Appen. He wasn't particularly funny, didn't have a glamorous job title, and wasn't even Instagram interesting. But he had arrived, claiming to have pulled off a scientific breakthrough. Bigger than electricity. Bigger than the internet. Naturally, everyone assumed he was a harmless crank. Until he insisted he had taught a cat to talk.
"And you want us to believe," said Will, swirling his Pinot, "that you've cracked interspecies communication and that this cat was your first success?"
Appen pushed up his smudged glasses. "It's taken me several years. Lately, I've been focusing on cats. They're already halfway to civilized while still being totally feral. Every now and then, you meet one with genius-level intelligence. When I met Tobermory last week, I knew he was exceptional. And now, well, I've reached the goal." His tone strained to stay humble, but his eyes gleamed. Nobody actually said, "Bullshit," but Clovis's lips definitely moved that way. "Wait," said Jess Rusker. "Are you saying you taught him, like, words? Easy sentences?" "My dear Miss Ruskin," said Appen patiently, "that's how you'd teach toddlers or remedial adults. Tobermory can speak fluent English, full grammar, perfect comprehension." "Beyond bullshit," muttered Clovis. "Then bring him in," said Adelaide Blemley. Will disappeared into the den, and a minute later returned looking like he'd seen a ghost.
"It's true. I called for him and he looked me dead in the eye and said, 'I'll come when I damn well please.' Nearly jumped out of my skin."
Gasps broke around the room. Then silence. And then Tobermory strolled in. Tail up, jumped onto the quartz countertop and said,
"Evening. Is anyone going to pour me a drink, or are we all going to stare?"
The room froze.
Nobody knew the etiquette for small talk with a house cat who could eviscerate your reputation. Adelaide's voice wavered.
Would you like some milk, Tobermory?
I don't mind if I do. She poured, spilling a little in her nerves. After all, the cat observed, it's not my marble countertop. A shiver ran around the room. Jess Resker tried to rally.
Was it hard learning our language?
Tobermory stared at her blankly, then gazed at the ceiling. Boring questions were beneath him. Mavis Pellington piped up.
What do you think of human intelligence?
Whose in particular?
The cat asked coolly.
Well, mine, for example, said Mavis, forcing a laugh.
You put me in an awkward spot, Tobermory replied, without a shred of awkwardness. When your invite was suggested, Will here protested you were the most brainless woman he knew. Adelaide said your lack of intelligence was exactly why she invited you, since you were dumb enough to maybe buy their old Tesla. You know, the one they call the Sisyphus, because it only goes uphill if you push it. Adelaide's protests were half-hearted. She had just pitched the car to Mavis that morning. Major Barfield blustered in to change the subject. How about you and that calico up in the stables, eh? Instantly, everyone knew he'd screwed up. One doesn't usually discuss those matters in public, said Tobermory frostily. And frankly, Major, if I were to comment on your affairs, you'd find it rather more inconvenient. The room panicked. Adelaide tried again.
Maybe you'd like to see if dinner's ready?
Thanks, said the cat, but I don't quite eat so soon after tea. Don't want to ruin my digestion. Cats have 9 lives, Will offered heartily. Possibly, Tobermory replied, but only 1 liver. The nervous laughter died instantly.
Adelaide, hissed Miss Cornett, are you going to let that cat gossip about us with the staff?
The horror deepened. Tobermory often prowled along the balcony rails, outside bedroom windows. God knew what he'd overheard. Miss Cornett looked stricken. Her makeup regimen was a carefully guarded illusion. Miss Scrawen, who wrote scandalous poetry, but lived like a nun, clenched her jaw. Bertie Van Tahn, depraved since 17, turned the color of old parchment. Odo Finsbury, studying for the clergy, bolted from the room altogether. Clovis stayed cool, though privately he was calculating how much hush money a box of fancy mice would cost. Agnes Resker, not one to stay quiet, groaned dramatically. Why did I even come down here? Oh, judging by what you told Miss Cornett on the lawn yesterday, Tobermory said smoothly, you were here for the food. You called the Blemleys the dullest hosts alive, but said they were smart enough to hire a first-rate chef, or else nobody would ever come back. That's a lie, Agnes cried. I appeal to Miss Cornett. Miss Cornett repeated it to Bertie, Tobermory continued, and said you were basically a hunger marcher, willing to go anywhere for 4 square meals. And Bertie said, but Tobermory stopped. His sharp eyes caught the big Tom from next door prowling toward the stables. In a flash, he leapt off the counter and vanished through the patio doors. The moment he was gone, pandemonium broke loose. Could he teach other cats? Appin admitted it was possible. Unlikely, but possible.
Then he and that stable cat have to go, snapped Miss Cornett.
We adore him, Adelaide said bitterly. But obviously the only solution is to deal with him. Bit of strychnine in his dinner, Will suggested, and I'll drown the stable cat myself. I'll tell the staff it's a contagious mange outbreak.
Appin paled. But my discovery... Try your experiments on elephants, Miss Cornett cut him off. They're smart, but they don't skulk under our beds. Dinner that night was miserable. Will was exhausted from killing the stable cat. Agnes gnawed angrily on dry toast, and Mavis sulked in silence. Adelaide kept chattering, but her eyes flickered constantly toward the door. A plate of poisoned fish scraps sat untouched on the sideboard. Tobermory never appeared. At midnight, the servants retired, leaving the pantry window cracked open for him. The guests sat in grim silence, pretending to read old New Yorkers and flipping through back issues of Architectural Digest. Adelaide kept checking the window, returning each time looking more depressed. At 2 a.m., Clovis finally spoke. He won't be back tonight. He's probably downtown dictating his memoirs to the New York Times. Lady What's-Her-Name tell-all book won't matter. Tobermory's will be the bestseller. The next morning, when the staff brought tea, they reported in unison, Tobermory had not returned. Breakfast was somehow worse than dinner. But before it ended, a gardener arrived with news. Tobermory's body had been found in the shrubs. His throat was torn out, his claws full of yellow fur. He'd lost in a brutal fight with the Tom from next door. By lunchtime, most guests had fled. Adelaide was already drafting a furious letter to the neighbor about the tragic loss of her priceless pet. Appin was no second success. A week later, a seemingly docile elephant at the Berlin Zoo snapped and killed a tourist. The man's name was reported as Appin or Eppelin, but his first name was definitely Cornelius. If he tried German irregular verbs on the poor beast, Clovis remarked, he got exactly what was coming to him. This has been an updated modern retelling of Tobermory by Saki, a.k.a. Hector Hugo Monroe, narrated by Paul Cram. So there's something about this story. There's just something so fun about it and a little sad. I get sad when you discover that Tobermory died. That guy's like, oh. I really enjoy, though, that idea that a cat who we just kind of maybe sometimes dismiss, that it's listening and can share our secrets. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Fun to me. I'd be super curious to know what your thoughts are about this story, too. Do you have a cat? Does it talk to you? Yeah. Let me know your thoughts. If you have a picture of your cat, or just comment that you have a cat, I'd love to hear it. I don't know. I'm a big fan. So I hope you enjoyed this. Find me on socials too. If you enjoyed the story, obviously like, subscribe, do all the things. But you can also find me on Instagram, Facebook. Look for me online. And until next time, smooches.